some foodstuffs in the feast of Lord Nityananda's appearance day. I thought I would just briefly inform some of you. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is seeing the picture up here above where the deities are on the wall. The gold frame, there's a picture of five personalities who were present 500 years ago. These personalities are called Pancha Tattva. Pancha means five. And Tattva means truths. So there are five truths or aspects of the personality of Godhead. As Lord Nityananda is one of them. Sometimes you hear people say something else, like God is one, or you're God, I'm God, we're all God, God is one. But actually there are different aspects of God. There's one man who was attending the program this evening. He was describing to me that he had previously had a lot of contact with Christian Science.
She was here last week.
Maybe she'll come later. Christian Science, who is, I don't know so much about it, but he was describing this. Christian Science has some idea of God as something that's kind of spread out everywhere. He couldn't even say whether that omnipresence of God permeates everything or just whether it's inside everything or outside everything. Anyway, God's spread everywhere. So it was very interesting to him. A little difficult to understand also the idea of God as person. Although it made a lot of sense to him. You know, he was going on describing like this. So it was very appropriate to have a discussion with this man about who is Lord Nityananda, because it's his appearance day. We not only say that God is person, the very scriptures indicate. Actually, all scripture indicates. Even Webster's dictionary indicates. God is the supreme being. You look it up in the dictionary sometimes. The supreme being. Now, what does being mean? But being, does being mean a person or not? So, there's one reference that this man said he recently came up with in the Bible, where in the New Testament, Christ directly spoke the following basic idea, that no one has seen that shape of God, indicating that there is a shape to be seen, not to say that there is no shape. Just like I could say, I've read something in the newspaper about the president. I know there's a president of the General Motors Corporation. Now, I've never seen the man, but I know that he exists. So we can say like that also God exists. And someone who says, God exists, I believe in God. I believe, it's like saying, I believe that there's a president of General Motors. Because one has never seen the president of General Motors doesn't prove that he exists. Or because you may not qualify to meet the president of General Motors doesn't prove that he doesn't exist. Doesn't prove that he does exist either. Because someone could say, well, prove to me that he exists. Can you prove to me that the president of General Motors exists? You have to be qualified to meet him to prove it to me. What is your qualification to meet the president of General Motors? He's a busy man. So, the Vedas give information that not only God exists, which all scriptures will teach. More specifically, God exists as the Supreme Person, and that there are different features of God's personal existence, and Lord Nityananda is one of those features. There are five basic truths to the existence of God, and they're each personally represented, all in one. Now, by material calculation, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is not 1. But that's how you calculate spiritually. 1 + 1, these five features is still 1. And 1 - 1 is 1. In other words, if you were to talk about one of these five only, still it's 1, it's fullness. The analogy is given that if you can put one lantern or one candle, light so many candles, you still have the full candle power in each of the candles. You can snuff out, start with one, light 5 candles, and then turn out or douse 4 of those, and still the 1 candle remaining is the same power as the original candle, whichever one you pick. So if we just talk about Lord Nityananda, for example, that's as good as talking about God himself, although it's just one of the 5 aspects of God, 5 truths of God's existence. This feature of Lord Nityananda is the same as the feature of God within the heart. Please remember, this is just one aspect, because there are other aspects. And this aspect of Lord Nityananda is also the same as the spiritual master, who is taken as the same as God himself, or who is given the same respect as God himself, because he is the external manifestation of God. Much like so the example is given, like with the form of God, which is the deity. When you go to the temple in Brooklyn, you see this Christian Science man. He was also very much interested in the deity worship because it was different than his previous concept of God. Somewhere, probably within 1 block radius of this building, there's a mailbox. Now you can't say that the mailbox is the same as the 33rd Street Post Office. At the same time, it works the same way. You can take your letter, put your little stamp on it, drop it in the mailbox, and the same thing will happen as if you go to 33rd Street and drop it in the post office. So it's a little tiny, this is metal box. But it works the same. The reason it works the same is because there's the same Postmaster General in charge of both. And by the arrangement of the Postmaster General, somebody is hired to come along, get a little key, and open take all the mail, put it into his bag, and walk it to the 33rd Street Post Office and send it out. The same way deity worship works. It's as good as. You can take your worship before the deity and it will act the same way. So, in some similar fashion, the spiritual master, just as Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, Lord Nityananda is different than Lord Chaitanya. Just trying to give some very simple explanation so you can understand something about these personalities, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. If Lord Chaitanya was the one, just as we've been chanting, and every day we're chanting, publicly chanting and within our temples chanting. Lord Chaitanya took this chanting practice and began spreading it all over India and requested and predicted that it would be all over the world. In every corner of the planet, chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Lord Nityananda took up this wish of Lord Chaitanya, and he did this also in his assigned area all over Bengal, because at that time Bengal included also Pakistan, East Pakistan, because now what is Bengal is actually West Bengal. What's now India is just West Bengal, then there's East Bengal, which is now East Pakistan. But you'll find more Bengalis who are devotees of Lord Chaitanya and devotees of Krishna in East Bengal or East Pakistan practically than you will in West Bengal.
Do they have a Nityananda? They mostly worship him?
They have very strong worship of Lord Nityananda, yes. So much like, this is a relevant point, that the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of Lord Chaitanya's disciple, like maybe 40, 50 years after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, he was requested, he was nearly 100 years old, I forget exactly his age, nearly 100 or over 100 years old, very, very feeble, very weak, in old, old age, not knowing at any day he could leave his body finished. He was requested to write a history, a biography of Lord Chaitanya's life. So in his description of this, so that the life of Lord Chaitanya would not be forgotten, because he had, this Krishnadas Kaviraj had heard from one who had heard from those who were intimately serving Lord Chaitanya, so he knew all the little intimate details of Lord Chaitanya's life. He was personally and very, very advanced spiritually. He was requested to write all this down in a biography. And in his biography, he describes that the devotion of Lord Chaitanya is so great that there's many different descriptions, but his devotion was so great that one could not be in his presence and not become a devotee of Krishna. In fact, Lord Chaitanya's devotion was so great that as he was traveling through India, even villages ahead, before he even got there, people were beginning to swoon in ecstasy and faint in manifesting symptoms of love of God, even by the approach of Lord Chaitanya, many villages away. Inconceivable. So the author writes that there's no question of someone developing the elevated stages of love of God, the love for Krishna, while also worshipping Lord Chaitanya. And for that matter, he writes, there's no way that one can call himself a worshipper of Lord Chaitanya without also worshipping Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda was so dear to Lord Chaitanya, because he functioned as his representative, much as the spiritual master functions as the representative of Krishna. Not that they're identical, not that Lord Nityananda is the same in every respect as Lord Chaitanya, but as good as Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who came in contact with Lord Nityananda, he also became immediately enthused with very elevated symptoms of devotion to God. This is the quality of someone who is very, very, very spiritually advanced soul. In this case, Lord Nityananda is not just an advanced soul, but God Himself, or an aspect of God Himself. So we've been honoring the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. This gives some information because people like to know these things. Quite often people will ask, is it part of your religion to fast, to observe abstaining from everything? So we have regular fast days, but the fasting, except for particular reasons of health, the fasting that we observe is in some regulated way. It's done at some particularly auspicious time. Just like many of you know what or have heard of what ekadasi is. There's sometimes a misconception that ekadasi is at certain, it's calculated by certain phases of the moon. And twice each month, according to particular stages of the moon, we observe fasting. Either total fasting or minimally fasting from grain and beans. With the idea that these days are particularly auspicious for spiritual activity. Sometimes it's misunderstood. This, I suppose, having something to do with when you have ill health, a doctor might recommend, when you're in bad shape, you better fast for a while. Just clear your system out. As a recognition of something that's really, that's not too bad, that's inauspicious. But as far as spiritual activity is concerned, fasting is done because it's a very auspicious day or auspicious time for performing spiritual activity. Just like we recommend most, if not all of you here, doing some regular chanting and reading. So it is recommended that you perform that chanting or reading as much as it's possible for you to do so in the early morning. The reason is because it's most auspicious to perform those activities in the early morning. Auspicious means you get a better result from it. Specifically, just like we have our Western time is divided into hours and minutes and seconds. Those are units of time. So in Vedic calculation, their units of time are muhurtas, which are approximately 12 or 12 and a half minutes. And so there's so many muhurtas, every half day or every day. And each muhurta has a name, or each group of muhurtas, intervals of time, has a name. So that period of time that begins roughly 2 hours before the sun rises and lasts for about an hour and 20 minutes. That's called Brahma Muhurta. During those Brahma Muhurta hours, or Brahma Muhurta periods of time, any spiritual practice that you perform, the benefit is magnified many times. So, subjectively you can say, you know, I really like to chant in the morning hours because it just makes me very, very tranquil and peaceful. It's not just tranquil and peaceful, that's there. But the spiritual benefit is far greater, many, many times greater, when any kind of devotional activity is performed during those muhurtas. And then the side effect or the subjective way that you might experience that is, I can concentrate better, or my mind's more peaceful. I mean, you can describe it in a general way also, that there's less hubbub and commotion. Not only in your life, because you're at the end of your period of rest, and after bathing, you're very relaxed and more calm than any other time of the day. But those early morning hours are specifically described as in the mode of goodness. So you perform an activity in the mode of goodness during a time that is more in the mode of goodness, it's more suitable. Whereas if you try doing your chanting in the middle of the day, it's a little more difficult. I think everyone's had that experience. Try it in the middle of the day when everyone's running around here and there, frantic. And you can chant, but it's more difficult to keep your mind fixed on reading or chanting than some devotional activity. It's a little more difficult. And at night, that's another difficulty. Fatigue, body is relaxing or collapsing, depending on how you applied yourself during the day. And the later the hours become, the more it works towards the mode of ignorance. In the early morning, in the mode of goodness, midday, passion, and late at night, mode of ignorance. Just like burglars. Well, so much crime goes on at night. Because they're thinking, the criminal is thinking, no one is watching me. I can sneak here and there in the shadows, break in, rob and steal. Because no one will see me because no one's watching. In part, everyone's sleeping. That's the mode of ignorance. Not to say that crime doesn't go on during other hours of the day, but it increases at night time. It's like it's dangerous to walk on the street at night sometimes, sad or experience, because it's more than the mode of ignorance. So we observe fasting on days that are very auspicious. Like the Kadasi is an auspicious day. So we try to increase our devotional activity, just like in a day like today, Lord Nityananda's appearance day. On the appearance day of great saintly persons, we'll observe fasting for half a day until midday, in honor of that person, but also because it's a very auspicious day. And the day is calculated not by the solar calendar, but by a lunar calendar. In other words, the date will change. Like say, if your birthday, somebody is born on February 11th, 1987, their birthday by the lunar calendar, 1988, will be something else. Try to keep track of when these days are and observe them because they're especially beneficial for spiritual activity, like fasting. But then we honor the conclusion of that fasting by also feasting. And some of the people here had some of the feasts. Good. So many different. I don't know how they prepared
it earlier.
Yeah, they happen at 4:30 this year. Not, you can't rush over to Brooklyn and take it, right? So, we bought some with us. I started cooking at about 12:30 and I finished it around 4 and they had 15 different preparations on how they did it. But fasting is then concluded by breaking the fast. in honor of Lord Nityananda. Who is to be honored as much as Krishna is to be honored? Who is to be honored as much as Lord Chaitanya is to be honored also? So, I'm actually stalling for time because someone's supposed to be bringing some very nice stories about Lord Nityananda that they haven't arrived. Since they don't read from Bhagavad Gita. They don't read from, I think, an appropriate verse to read. Chapter 4, text 34. Page 262 in the heart of Bhagavad Gita. We can chant the Sanskrit together. Tadidi pranipatena,
tadidi pranipatena,
hari prashnena sevaya,
hari prashnena sevaya,
upadeshanti te jnanam,
upadeshanti te jnanam,
jnaninas tatvadarshana,
jnaninas tatvadarshana,
tadidi pranipatena,
tadidi pranipatena,
hari prashnena sevaya,
hari prashnena
Upadekshanti te jnanam
Upadekshanti te jnanam
Jnaninas tatvadarshana
Jnaninas tatvadarshana
Tadridhi pranipatena
Tadridhi pranipatena
Pariprashnena sevaya
Pariprashnena sevaya
Upadekshanti te jnanam
Upadekshanti te jnanam
Jnaninas tatvadarshana Translation. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Therefore, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the Siddhic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of the Siddhic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the Siddhic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to the disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one in the right path. Cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master by nature is very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So this is appropriate for the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, because as I described, the position of Lord Nityananda is the original, as that of the original spiritual master. Just like here, Lord Krishna is performing the function of the spiritual master of Arjuna. Lord Krishna is performing the function of spiritual master. Arjuna is inquiring, and he's prepared to render service to Krishna, and Krishna is acting as the teacher or guide to give the relevant information to one who at one time was his friend. The relationship is that of friendship with Arjuna. And now in this case, Lord Krishna is performing the functioning in the relationship of spiritual master. Very distinct types of relationship. Because the spiritual master, in this particular case, God himself, should not be seen simply as a friend, companion, buddy, pal, you know, someone you'd like to hang around with. But the function that Krishna is playing as spiritual master is to give information to his friend and later on his disciple, Arjuna. The answer is to how he can end all of his suffering. That's serious business. Of course, it means having a nice time while doing it, but the relationship is not a casual one. It's a serious one. Ending problems, when any problem comes, a serious problem comes, it's not just a joking matter. And when we take it in that way, it doesn't really solve the problem. What to speak of the ultimate problems of life? Even if you could solve every other last little itty-bitty problem, or your back aches, or your hair's falling out, or someone isn't treating you nicely, or you have to ride to work in the subway and it's noisy and smelly and crowded, or anyway, million and one problems. Even if you could solve all those million and one problems, there are basic problems that you still cannot solve by any material arrangement. That is, death, aging, disease. Even if you have best doctor, doesn't mean you won't get disease. Nor does it mean the doctor will be able to cure your disease. And again, going through the same thing all over again, birth again. Birth, death, disease, and old age. If you are a multi-billion billionaire and the most beautiful person in the world and had all the friends just standing in line at the door just to be your next friend, just give a call. The next 25 friends, come on in. They wanted all the friendship they wanted and all the companionship they wanted and all the money they wanted and admirers and beauty and everything just at their fingertips. They still couldn't solve these problems. They will die. Their body will become old and diseased, all of which are unwanted. And to have that happen yet again and again and again, being born again and have the same thing happen again, that's also unwanted. Unfortunately, people are so much caught up in trying to solve the 1,001 problems, they never even think about solving the ultimate problems. That even if the 1,001 problems are taken care of, They haven't even thought about the ultimate ones yet. So the position of spiritual master, or the position of Lord Nityananda, is to solve those four problems, thus taking care of your 1,001 problems also. If you had $100,000 to spend, automatically your nickel and dime and $10 problems, they're taken care of. Don't have to worry about it. These little petty puny problems that we're all caught up with each day. Does he like me? Does she like me? What about my bank balance? What am I going to eat today? My arm hurts. I think I need some more sleep. Did the Giants move? All these petty puny problems can be solved by solving the ultimate problem. And that's what the position of the original spiritual master, Lord Krishna, is performing when he begins speaking in Bhagavad Gita. And in turn, we can get the same benefit by studying very carefully those words from Bhagavad Gita. However, the Vedic literature gives us information that even that conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, we can also benefit from it. It's mentioned directly in the purport that the Lord, within this very conversation, the Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the Supreme from the Lord Himself. It is very nice, and it is essential that one study the scripture, or one study this conversation, because there's a lot to learn from the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. A lot that's very personal and immediately appropriate. I'm repeating the same point I just made. However, within that conversation, one has to have, the conversation indicates, an immediate spiritual master also, in the line of the Siddhic succession from Krishna and Arjuna, in order to understand the conversation properly. Why? That's answered in the first sentence in the purport. Because spiritual life is difficult. Therefore, you need all the help you can get, and it's Krishna's arrangement to provide the help in that way. The help that you need is understanding. Then it explains, how do you get the understanding? Not just how you get the theoretical stuff, because that you can get from reading the book only, theoretically. I mean, just like if you get a, Zing just purchased this little contraption over here, the TV, and it wasn't working. Although it was working in the store, it wasn't working when we got it here. And he fiddled and fidgeted and still wasn't working. So what to do? You have to go back to the guy that knows how to make it work. And he can tell you how it works. Even it works, we just don't know how it works. You need more than the theoretical, you plug the thing in the socket, the outlet, and push the on button and then connect this thing to that thing and then it's supposed to work. It didn't work. There's a few more particulars that the expert will know. The spiritual master is supposed to be that expert person who, by his hearing in disciplic succession, either from Krishna directly or from one in disciplic succession from Krishna, has heard and assimilated the knowledge and is living by very example that knowledge, then that person has the necessary understanding. And because of that, is empowered to impart the understanding. Because they have seen the truth. They're not just, comparative. tying on a cracker. Just like a parrot, just saying it again. That kind of saying is no good in spiritual life. That same parrot that goes piling on a cracker, it's real cute. When the time of death approaches, that parrot, he's not saying piling on a cracker. When time of danger comes for the parrot, he's behaving just like a parrot. Flying around his cage, squawk, squawk, squawk. His realization just went out the window. And he was hoping he went out the window to get away from his danger. When danger comes, when death comes, or when disease comes, or when old age comes, when the dangers of life come, then what will you do? It's very easy to remain undisturbed in life when there's no cause for being disturbed. But everything's going very nice. But unfortunately, this material world is a place filled with disturbance. And when disturbance comes, then what? Will you remain undisturbed or not? Or is your understanding so deep, this is the qualification of the representative of Krishna, who is functioning in the capacity of spiritual master, their realization is so deep that when there's cause, they don't lose that understanding. Their behavior doesn't become other than the standard behavior. So when such a bona fide spiritual master exists, that person should be approached to understand. In other words, the disciples should try to find such a person. Anyone who's interested in spiritual life should not only read a lot of books. We know some people who have been coming for a long, long time. They read so many books. But what? They don't understand anything. They don't understand. They haven't realized anything. If it's simply so much book knowledge, someone might be impressed. Well, he knows a lot. He's read a lot of books. But what will happen as old age approaches that such a person? He has become senile, that's all. And reminisce and spout so many things that they read. But their behavior becomes more and more crazy and abominable. And when the time of death comes, they can. Oh my God. So how to prepare yourself so when these difficulties come, or the lesser, some of the 1001 difficulties also, when they come, how to remain properly situated in one's devotion to God, how to have the necessary realization. Someone who has realized that knowledge can impart that realization. Spiritual life is difficult. So you need realization so you don't move from the position of spiritual life to some other kind of life. It's hard enough to get there. So then it describes, right within this verse, how you get that realization. People ask this question in so many different ways, you'd be amazed. But this is what it boils down to, what this verse is describing. How can I, practically speaking, every time there's one of our devotees, that any time someone asks a question, how, he calls this a pea brain question. He goes like this, like he's frying the pea in a skillet and just throws it out. Meaning, the how is already there. How can I come to the point where I something or other, something or other? How can one realize the truth? How can one The how is already there. The problem is not how. The problem is the desire to do the how. That's the problem. So, the qualification, there must be a bona fide spiritual master, but there also has to be a bona fide disciple. What's the qualification of a bona fide disciple? So that when they do, just by God's grace, bump into a bona fide spiritual master, if they're walking along and stub their toe on a bona fide spiritual master, even they weren't looking for it, they just happen to bump into it. They're holding their toe while they bump the bumpers. There they are, there's a bona fide spiritual master. How are they going to get the benefit necessary? By asking, ouch, why does my toe hurt? Why is it hurting this material world? And how can I get it to stop hurting? Because it's not just me that's hurting. I look around me and I can see every other guy around, and person around. They're also, they're stumbling around and stubbing their toe too. So, you know, I stub my toe against you, maybe you know. How come, why do we have to suffer in this world? Because nobody wants it. All these unwanted things, why are they there? And how to get rid of them? That's an intelligent question. Not just, you know, what's the new product on the market to get rid of this kind of ache or pain, or that kind of unwanted thing, or for my sinful activities, how can I try to keep it down to a minimum, the reactions? Why does it have to be that way to begin with? Why do I have to suffer? Prabhupada describes like this. This is human life. The bona fide disciple is one who wants to ask those questions. A genuine spiritualist is one who wants the answers to the ultimate questions of life. That's the bona fide disciple. That's the first part of being a bona fide disciple. And that's rare to find. What to speak of the next part? The next part is that after you hear the answer, that you're ready to do it. Here's the translation again. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. Now, what does this render service unto him mean? When you happen to stub your toe or somehow or other come across a bona fide spiritual master, and you do happen to ask the right questions, or even you don't open your mouth and just the spiritual master gives you the answers, even before you ask the questions. I certainly had this experience with reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita for the first time. I read 8 different Bhagavad Gitas before I even heard about the Hare Krishna movement. But after reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, I stopped. I didn't need to read any more books. Hundreds of books I was reading on these stupid, puffed up, so-called readers. Anyway. So many questions were answered that I was asking, and so many questions were answered that I wasn't even asking. But actually I wanted to ask, I just didn't have the brain enough to ask them. But I knew that I should be asking, and as soon as the answer came, I knew that the question was the right question and answer. So even if we don't know how to properly inquire, the other part is just as important or more important. Service attitude. Being willing and ready to act on what you hear. I remember once being in a darshan with Prabhupada. For those of you that don't know what darshan means, the Sanskrit word darshan means to look upon. Just like when the deity is there, the curtains open, that's called darshan. Whoever answers the phone at the reception desk at the temple, whenever an Indian calls, they'll ask, among other things, they'll ask, when is darshan? That means they want to know when they can see the deity. What hours of the day can one go into the temple room and see the deity? Darshan. So, when sitting in the room with Prabhupada, that was called darshan. And a very embarrassing thing happened one time. This was during the Mayapur festival, the annual festival in India that Prabhupada. A very, very nice time of the year where the weather is just, it's not too this or too that, it's just right. So, every evening at a certain time, Prabhupada was finished with all his other business, he just scheduled a darshan. People always could come to his room and sit and meet with him. So one of these darshan periods, it was just like sitting in front of the deity. Nobody knew what to say. The room was filled with devotees. And nobody knew what to say. We were just sitting there worshiping Prabhupada. Because the spiritual master is not just a deity you're supposed to just, you know, look at. Even the deity form, Radha Govinda, is not just for you to behold the beauty and wonder of Radha Govinda. But actually the deity is meant to serve. Therefore, so many services we render to the deity. Ask Janaka. So many offerings are being cooked in the kitchen for the pleasure of the deity. So many arti ceremonies are being performed for the pleasure of the deity. So many very nice vases are being arranged for the pleasure of the deity. So many nice clothing are being sewn for the pleasure of the deity. In fact, proper consciousness for all the residents of the temple, aside from kirtan and whatever functions take place directly within the temple room, we're all the servants of the deity. Whatever we're doing is for Radha Govinda. They're meant to be served. So also the spiritual master is meant... Oh, great, open.